Welcome to The Barbell Strikes Back. I'm your host, James McDermott, and joining me once again is Catherine Toniati Yanilovich. We're here again watching another strong man, or actually today, a strong woman, feat of strength. Because yes. Andrea Thompson, professional strong woman, one of the strongest women and people in the world, is going for a log lift record, a world record of 130 kilos. Kat, I'm super excited about this. How are you doing and how are you feeling?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling really excited to watch this. Really excited to see a women's log lift record, get some face time here. And I have competed with Andrea this past 2019. We weren't in the same weight class. She was a heavyweight and I was a middleweight, but I got to watch her live. And she is an incredible presser, so I am extremely excited to watch this and really ready to see her break that record.
You know, I noticed that. I was scoping out her Instagram before this just to kind of see if there were, you know, any other feats of strength on there. And I noticed when she was doing her log lifts, she was doing push presses. So yes. I'm very interested to see if she busts out any kind of push jerk or a split jerk, or if it's just going to be 130 kilo push press.
I think from watching her, I think it's going to be a push press, and she has a very strong push press. When I watched her do Viking press last year at official strongman games, I mean, the weight was about 250, and she, I think, got 17 reps. I know it's a totally different movement, but she is a very strong presser, strong shoulders. I think she's just going to push press this, and looking at some of her, practice reps, in the past few months, I don't know. I think she might make it look easy.
I think you're right. You know, like I said, on her Instagram page, I saw she just posted on there a, 125 kilo, which is a 275 pound mm-hmm. PR log lift. And so she PR'd at 125. And I think the record, that was on June 14th, by the way. Follow yes. Andrea Thompson on Instagram at Andrea Thompson if you want to see any of these exciting lifts. But I believe the record, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kat, is 128.
Let's see. Just doing a little math here. I think it's, I guess it kind of depends on what an official world record is. I know Daniel Vahi did 285 pounds. That's 229 and a half kilos at Static Monsters last year. And that's the heaviest one I've seen. But I don't know if that counts as an official world record. The official world ultimate strongman record might only be 128.
I see. Yeah, it's... That's the thing about strongman. There's so many different competitions and implements and whatnot. So it's always like finding a needle in a haystack on trying to find, all right, what is the official record? And yeah. What record are we trying to beat for this event? You know, that's always tricky.
Mm-hmm. So this would be any established, any lift basically on the record, even if that other record would stand. This certainly would be the heaviest log press ever by a woman.
And she's going to get it. I have no doubt. And this will be her second record this year. I'm assuming she's only set yes. the one. So let's do a little recap here on Andrea. She was the world's strongest woman in 2018.
Yes.
She's a four-time British strongest woman. Mm-hmm. She also she set the deadlift world record at the Arnold, 2020 yes. Arnold. With 282 kilograms, 121 pounds. So she is a strong lady, if there ever was a definition.
Yes, that was crazy. And that was straps, no suit. Unlike the deadlift we watched last, yeah. The last ones we watched, the ladies did not wear suits. It was raw except for straps. So, yeah. I mean, that blew me away this year.
I know that's just insane. You know, I was there. I wish I would have known to go and watch it. You know, I don't know what I was doing at the time, but it's pretty cool. And I know she has 300 kilos in her sights. She wants to hit that as the, as her next yeah. record, or at least bump it up there. And I'm pretty sure she can, or with the way, you know, strength training is going, someone will, and that's 660 pounds.
Yeah, that's crazy. Oh yeah. I want to see it.
Now I see she's warming up here, and you know, just like we discovered last week on the stream, you know, they don't show any of the unofficial weights, you know, you just kind of have to guess. Right. But she's got the pads there, which that's great. She's using a different type of log than what Rob Kearney used. So I guess it's just, you know, if you have a log and you load the official weights on there and everything weighs legitimately what it should, I guess the type of log doesn't matter for these world records. Does it change the movement though? Like, because Rob Kearney had a very long wooden type of log, and I see she has a shorter, stockier looking metal log. What do you think?
So the diameter of the log certainly makes a difference. Absolutely. Hers here looks at least 12 inches, could be 13. The diameter certainly will make it more difficult if it is a longer diameter or a wider diameter. Longer log, I think when they're shorter, they are a little bit easier to control. But it is a different feel, in my personal opinion, when you use a longer one versus a very short one. And I actually would prefer one that's a little longer. The weight just feels more spread out, like the difference between bumpers and metal plates. I prefer a little bit of a longer log, and I actually like 12 inches versus 10, which is usually the standard for women.
Yeah. Well, it looks like she's going for attempt number one. And if anyone who wants to sync up the stream, we are at 16:46 right now into the live stream, which can be found on the Rogue Fitness YouTube channel. And Andrea is gearing up for attempt number one, which this isn't the record. This is just a warm-up lift. So I'm assuming she's going to get three attempts at it.
Yes.
I'm not sure what the weight is here. I see someone saying 107 kilos. Maybe they'll pop it on the screen here. Oh, there's Adrunas.
Okay.
All right, it's 110. It's 110 kilos.
Oh, here we go.
42.
I think. Yeah, perfect. Easy.
And my God. That was like the easiest thing ever. She's waiting for Adrunas to tell her, someone to tell her to put it down.
I wonder if his stream is a little behind or lagging.
Yeah.
Like she was looking for him, but then she laughed.
Yeah, like she didn't get any kind of a so I'm guessing maybe he's going to be the one that tells her to put it down. This is probably,
yeah.
This looks like it's in her garage, gym, you know, all of her friends are there helping her load the weights. Interesting, yeah, they didn't show the weight weighing process. Remember they've been doing that for all these attempts, right? Showing the scales and whatnot.
I wonder if they're doing it off screen to an official via a different stream instead of doing it on this.
I've just gotten so used to seeing it. I want to see every step of this process. I got to know. I got to know that we're legit.
Yeah.
So yeah, that it looks like there's definitely probably just a laptop screen in front of her. And I saw Big Z. It's hard to tell if he was impressed too. Like he just has kind of the same face the whole time. So he's just looking at her. His eyes got a little wider when she did it. So maybe that was his approval. She has to look deep into his eyes and then just know that he wants her to put it down and whether it was good or not. I like that judging style. He's just like, you have to interpret my expression.
Yeah, he's very stoic. He doesn't make a lot of expression a lot. I feel like, I don't know. If he does any sort of slight movement, slight smile, you know he's really excited.
When he won, like you've seen him when he's won, you know, events and he's won the big titles, does he show any emotion then?
He does, but it is slight. He's not one to like jump up and, you know, like give out a roar. He might do maybe a short yell or something right before a lift. That's not usual, but he will sometimes. And when he wins, I don't know. I mean, I interpret it, he's very humble and gracious about it. He doesn't get crazy. Or maybe it's just because he just kind of expects to win and he's like, another day at the office, nothing to get.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense. So it looks like they're doing something right now. I think there is a scale down there.
Okay. Yeah, I bet they're putting everything on the log and then they're just putting the log on the scale.
You should invite your dog in to come watch this log.
I was going to ask, do you hear my dog? Oh my God, I think I need to close that door. He must be hearing some fireworks.
Okay, yeah. Oh yeah, probably.
I'm going to run and close the office door before he decides to start giving his commentary on this.
Okay, all right. So yeah, for anyone listening, it's July 4th, which I can't remember if I said that at the beginning of the show, but it is July 4th, and this is a tough weekend for all pets. Right now, we're all excited for America and watching a log lift record. And to them, the world is ending because everything is exploding.
Oh, yeah. I guess nothing's being delivered on the 4th of July, but.
Could be a squirrel or something. Yeah. Or he's just ready for Andrea to
get like, second he's attempt. Like, why aren't I in here? Why can't I see the screen?
So ooh, she's 120. At 120, 264.6 pounds. Easy clean. And she got it. She's still holding it. Oh man. All right. They gotta figure that out.
They've got, yeah. He doesn't have the hand up like he usually does with the.
Yeah, or at least say something. Cause it's down to now that she's holding it for, let's see.
I mean, heads one, through, she's two, good. I mean.
I counted at least 6 seconds before they cut away that she was holding it overhead, which that's a long time to hold 120 kilos over your head after you just made the lift. I don't know if he's waiting for any extra lockout or what, but.
I think there's got to be a problem with the feed because he usually puts his hand up as if he's going to give you that hand down signal, and he isn't doing that. And I feel like things maybe are not synced up.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a lag.
As long as they got it all on video, then I imagine it's all cool.
Yeah, I think there has to be probably a secondary judge there that's saying, well, you know, put it down.
Yeah.
Can't get any more locked out than that. I mean, she head was through, arms were locked.
Now, what we're seeing here is that, one, she's going pretty fast, which that's, I mean, like, I don't know. I imagine, you know, you got to have more rest before you go for like a super heavy deadlift, before you go for maybe a log lift. But I'm surprised at how quickly she's going through these attempts and that she's making such big jumps. I mean, she did 110, now she just did 120, and she's probably definitely 100% going to go to 130. So 10 kilo jumps. I'm not even sure. Is that a big jump for a log lift? I mean, in weightlifting, that's a pretty hefty jump.
Yeah, I mean, that's over 20 pounds. I usually, when I get up to where I'm pretty close to doing a PR, I think a 5 kilo jump would probably be the most that I would want. I am a fan of doing attempts the way she is. I don't like to wait too long. I feel like I kind of stagnate and I get cold. So I like that she's going a little faster than we're used to seeing. So that may be her personal preference. But I kind of secretly hope it's because she's thinking about maybe taking that fourth attempt. I guess we'll see after.
Was there talk about a fourth attempt?
No, not really. But
just wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking. Everything is just looking so perfect and so easy.
Her clean, her like the way she goes from her lap and rolls it up onto her shoulders is the most seamless, easy looking thing that I've seen on any of these strongman attempts so far. Like she is, if the log clean itself was just an event, I feel like she would log clean a house.
Oh yeah, extremely fluid. And I feel like if on her third attempt, the clean is extremely easy. I mean, to me, I don't know how she's feeling today, but if the clean is easy, I feel like usually the press is no problem. It's not until I start struggling a little with the clean where I know, you know, I'm close to my limit.
Yeah, that's same thing with like just a barbell. You want to make that clean as easy as possible so you are efficient and you don't waste any energy that you could be putting into that jerk. Like you always see it like at a meet or just even in training, someone who has that absolute grinder of a squat clean and they just get up, you know, maybe they're rounded a little bit, elbows are dropping, they stand up with it and you're like, okay, I really hope that we're going to be able to put this clean or this jerk together because you just spent a lot of energy on grinding that clean through.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously she has an extremely strong core, extremely strong back. So I feel like the clean is easy for her, but she's also an equally good presser as she is a deadlifter. She's very strong, all around strong woman. And so I feel, I don't know. I feel if she can clean it, she can certainly press it.
Aside from like just being strong overall, how much does having a really strong deadlift play into a log lift? Or does it even at all?
I don't think great deadlifters are necessarily great log pressers. But it's obviously very helpful to have a strong deadlift because just getting that log off the ground and into your lap, it can take effort at these heavy weights. And so I don't think it necessarily, if you're a great deadlifter, you're a great log presser, but I think it certainly helps. And if you have a big squat, it certainly helps too.
Yeah. And it's like you said before, having that strong back. And I imagine the grip as well, just to be able to bring it in. It's super awkward. Like on the log, I know when I'm doing it at Albany CrossFit, I feel like my hands are further away from my shins than they ever are on anything else when I'm trying to pick it up. And that alone just feels so weird. Like I feel like I'm trying to pull it from out in front of me back into my lap.
Yeah. Once you've cleaned it, and you're supporting that weight, I mean, the upper back strength, that posterior chain, that your whole back is just coming into play. So people with strong backs, I think it lends well to log pressing. And she's certainly got a strong back. So, and you can see she has a lot of control of that log. She's not wobbly. I mean, she held that for 6 seconds and it didn't look like she wavered at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now this is the final attempt, as far as we know. She can hold it for as long as she needs, you know, doesn't have to do anything after that. She's just kind of sitting on those crash mats in front of the log, got the fan on her. And I'm assuming she's talking to Big Z. She's talking to someone in front of her and it looks like she's looking at a computer screen.
Oh, man.
He's probably like, you must make the lift and then hold for 10 seconds.
Oh, she's in a garage. She's outside. There's no air conditioning. There's no frills here. So much respect. She's got that fan on her. It's 5 o'clock in the UK right now. I don't know.
It's hot here. It's hot.
80, it's 82 here. I wonder what it is in. I don't have a London.
Bust out the
world. I don't have a London clock here. Let me see. I mean, it's gotta be so hot there. Oh, all right. It says it's 66 in London right now and cloudy. I don't know if she's in London. I apologize to any British fans that are watching right now if she's in like a completely different section of the country.
Yeah. Well, she looks like she's taken the rest before this one. So she just blew through those first two. She's like, no problem. I just want to get those over with. And now I'm going to chill.
Yeah. Ooh, and you can see, we couldn't see it on screen, but you can see her sitting next to that scale. So they were just weighing the entire log.
I see that, yeah. So they just put the center of the log right on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the same scale. You know, I bet Rogue is sending those scales out to everybody because it looks like the same scale from all the other events, kind of.
Yeah.
She's got to get psyched up here. This is one attempt. Now, it's interesting, too, that on every one of these events, they save the record for the final attempt. So it's like you're only going to get one shot at it. And I wonder if that's something that's been agreed upon, you know, in advance with the organization. Hey, you got to do a couple attempts on screen so that we can get footage of you making some lifts because that's part of the spectacle. And then you can go for the actual attempt, the world record or the American record or whatever it is on the final attempt versus like taking these as warm-ups, you know, 110, 120, mm-hmm. having three attempts at 130.
You know, I don't know what the official rules are. I know when Tom Stoltman went for the 230, I think he attempted it three times. He came so close on, it was his, I think his official third attempt. He came so close, and I think he took two more attempts and came pretty close, but didn't end up lifting it.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, that's like not as exciting of a show. You know, it's like everyone tuned in, and if they didn't get to see any of the warm-up attempts or anything like that, they just saw him kind of struggle with a stone.
Right.
And that would be like, okay, well, now Rogue's like, well, we didn't get to see any made lifts. I wonder if that plays into it at all.
Yeah, I think people want to see people make lifts, and they want the drama of watching the lighter weights, you know, because when you see, oh, that's so easy, or, oh, you know, I saw a little struggle on the second attempt. Oh, no, are they going to make that third one? There's drama and there's excitement. And so I think that I think you probably have to take the three attempts. And then I don't know if they'll allow fourth or fifth, if that technically still counts as the record, or if you just have to take a minimum of three.
Yeah. So far from what we've seen, maybe you've seen some others, there hasn't been any fourth attempts. And I'm wondering too, one thing I've noticed about with strongman and strongwoman is that if it's a competition and there's other events coming, they won't necessarily go for that extra because it's, you could get hurt. You know, it's like, it's not worth the energy and how much energy these guys and ladies are expending. And it's not risk getting hurt for the next event. Like I was just watching the Arnold championships for the men, all the events during the week. And I noticed that, you know, Thor, he had so many opportunities to go for like that little extra. Mm-hmm. And if he won the event, he's like, I'm done. That's it. I'm not going to go for the deadlift record. I'm not going to go for the overhead throw record or anything like that. He saved it until the final event to finally go for a fourth attempt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think people, you know, when the titles are on the line and, you know, everything that comes with it, I think if it's something in the middle of a competition, you hold back just a little bit.
Yeah. Here we go. Okay,
here we go.
130. She's loading up on the bar, 286.6 pounds. Zydrunas, oh, he's got the hand up.
Oh, he's got the hand up.
Good.
Yes. Oh, easy, clean. So easy.
Oh, let's go.
Come on, you got this. Oh, my God. Wow. It was like a training lift. Oh, my God. That was nothing. Oh, please. And show us a fourth. Show us a fourth. Come on. That was incredible. You can't leave it on that.
That honestly looked easier than her other two attempts, and it looked easier than the 125 kilos I saw her do on her Instagram. That was a champion coming out for the moment and just absolutely crushing it. They're showing the replay now. I can't believe she push pressed that. Wow.
Oh yeah, she's got to at least throw another, come on, put another 2 kilos on there at least. Yeah, I think she could do more, but
I think she could do 135, maybe even 140.
Yeah,
like that clean. I mean, I'm so impressed with that clean. I wish I could do that. It doesn't disconnect from her body at all. It just rolls.
It was perfect. Like
that's the most perfect technique.
It was perfect. She didn't waver at any point. There was no, I mean, it just flew up.
Well, there we go. A woman's world record.
Yes.
On the log lift, 130 kilos, 286.6 pounds.
You know, I wonder if she's saving the 300 maybe for a Rogue record breaker.
Yeah.
I know at the Arnold this year, they had Kristen Rhodes went for 300, which was a little perplexing because, I mean, they were asking, you know, anyone who could do 300, but I feel like as we see, the record was what, 128?
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't just have them break the record instead of requiring 300. But anyway, maybe she's thinking, in 2021, I'm going to hit that 300. Let me save it.
Yeah, stay healthy. You got the record. And I wonder, too, if there's any kind of incentive to, well, there probably is, to keep this going. Because, like, in weightlifting, some countries will, you know, they'll have a weightlifter where you'll get a bonus from your government if you set a world record. So you set the world record, maybe you set it by a kilo, and you get a big payday back home, but you're going to save the next kilo for the next meet. So, like, you're going to keep inching it forward. But if you just blew it out and just set something that you can't break again in the future, you're not going to make that money. So right now, if, let's say, she's going to get a bonus from World's Strongest Man and from Rogue for breaking this record, like, they're probably already paying her to do this, but she gets an extra stipend. Maybe, I don't know, this is all speculation, for getting the 130. If she goes for 132 or 135, she's probably not going to get paid for that, I imagine. And it also doesn't count as the record. So it would be just for fun, I would imagine.
Yeah. And I think I'm not sure what they were offering, 5,000 or 10,000 if you broke that record. So if Kristen Rhodes had broke that record, I think would have been a fairly good payout for her at the Arnold this past year. So maybe she's thinking, you know, conserve myself, don't go for anything that might cause an injury, and then there'll always be another record breaker, and plan for a big showing at the Arnold, and then hopefully this year it'll be a little more thrilling, right? Surrounded by people, everybody cheering, and then you can hit the 300, you know, under the best circumstances, under the big lights. That certainly makes a lot of sense.
I really want to go back to the Arnold next year. I want to go back, and I hope so much that the expo is going to be a part of it, and we can get back to normal. You know, there'll probably be some new regulations on, like, maybe, you know, every booth has like a mapped out area and only so many people can be in it, and you got to wear masks and stuff. But I hope we do it. I hope that we're able to go and get that full experience. And I definitely want to pencil in some time on when these events will be going. That was like a hard thing too, is figuring out when you're at the Arnold, it's like, when is everything happening? Like, it kind of feels like it's all happening at the same time. And it's like, where's the strongman schedule? Where's the powerlifting schedule? Where's the fencing schedule? You know?
Oh yeah. When I was there, I think I lucked in. I got to watch the pro women in 2017. I just kind of like went by the stage and I was like, oh, this is starting. This is exactly what I want to watch.
Yeah.
And actually got a seat.
You have to just be lucky and find it.
Oh, what am I seeing here? Are they weighing it again? Please.
Oh, I think they are.
Or are they weighing it after the record camera? Let's see. Yeah, show me the...
Tilt it up. Oh, she's got 135. Oh,
yes. My goodness. Yes. Queen.
We're getting bonus. Getting bonus. She is not satisfied.
I like that.
And you know what? It, for something like this, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. For a deadlift where there's much more risk, all right, maybe you don't go for another one at such a maximum weight. But this is cool.
He's ready. I'm doing a little math now here. I don't have my kilo conversions in my, 297.
So she's just under 300 pounds.
Under 300.
And it's like, hey, you got big Z on there. You got the cameras. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 2,000 people watching. Cause that's what looks like we're streaming right now.
Yeah.
You got the Barbell Strikes Back podcast doing commentary.
Like
it's 4th of July in the States. Like, let's go. Let's do this.
Oh no. You know what?
What?
It's the 4th of July. She's asserting British dominance right now on us.
My goodness.
It's okay.
I don't know if it's okay
in
now.
In this case,
I have to go to the cat. Now I have to go to the gym and I have to try to do 40% of this to make it right. Which, what would that be? Hold on a second. I don't even know if I can do 40% of it. 40%. Okay. All right. I can do 40% of this. So that means I can do a higher percentage.
Yeah, I think I can do 50% of this. Would be close to my max.
50% would be 148.5 pounds.
Okay. Yeah, I've hit 150 recently. So, yay, I can hit 50%.
All right. America, there we go. So we have to at least get that. I can do 75 kilos, which is 165. That's my current PR on this. So it's not the world record, but it has to be done for America. So I'll go and I'll do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna work out after this podcast. Maybe this makes me want to lift some logs.
Do you have a log in the garage?
I do. Yes, I do. It's a 12 inch. It's 130 empty. So goodbye, small warm ups.
Yeah, I've been using the log at the gym, and the technique you talked about during the Rob Kearney attempt and episode. I've been using that one where I'm trying to sit very upright, which is easy for me. I've got the flexibility to do it. And I'm rowing the log into my stomach. Like I'm trying to press it to my body as hard as I can and try to get that roll that Andrea's getting when I go to stand. It's almost, I feel like I'm essentially doing a squat. I'm just standing with the bar in my lap and squatting it up to my shoulders, as opposed to trying to hunch over and get my chin to the bar and my stomach, or excuse me, my chest to the log, which in doing that, it was just separating so much. And I was curling it up there, which I definitely didn't feel great on the arms.
Yeah, no, to get that roll, you have to squeeze it. I squeeze it tight to my chest. But my chin, that cue, I think that's good for beginners. I think once you teach them that it needs to stay close to the body, that cue of the chin actually being on it, you don't need that anymore. And just squeezing it tight to your body so that when you roll it up, there's no separation. That is the key to a good clean.
Yeah. And I can definitely tell while I do it, the importance of having that strong back to be able to keep it glued there the whole time and kind of not letting things go either. Like it's kind of weird for me to continue to engage those muscles and trying to heave it up and getting that kind of a layback to roll it up as opposed to trying to duck underneath it, which I don't know. I don't even know if a squat clean would work very well with a log. Is that something people do?
No, never. Yeah. I see people who are, they're well taught in the Olympic lifts. And I think the first instinct is to clean more like that, but this is really a totally different animal. And I would be a little afraid to watch someone really attempt a squat clean on a log. Can someone even have that kind of flexibility?
Well, there's only one way to find out. Well, I can, maybe with an empty log, I'll try it out, but I can definitely feel myself fighting that turnover. Like it's such a different turnover at the top.
There's no, you don't ever dip under the log. You're rolling it up.
It either goes up or it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Where do you put your hands? Like I've been putting my hands more on the middle of the grip bar. Do you ever put your hands further towards the front of the log to get an extra roll? Is there any technique in that?
I put my hands towards the center. I suppose there could be some techniques that are personal to someone who might want to grab it forward. But in general, what happens is where you put your hands on the log at the bottom is generally where they're going to land at the top. And you definitely, if you put them towards the front of the log when you are cleaning it, they're going to be towards the back when you have it in the rack position. So if that is a spot that's comfortable for your hands during pressing, I would say yes. But for me, I take my thumb and my forefinger, I don't know what you call that one, the one right next to the thumb. I take those two and I put those directly in the center. So my hands are, I guess the center of my hands are slightly back from the center of the log, but not a lot back. So
yeah, I didn't think about that. If you start with them in the front, they're going to be in the back when you flip it up there. That I feel would be weird going overhead for sure.
Yeah, I like my hands more towards the center. And then the other thing that I do, and I think you'll see Andrea do this here, and we saw Rob do it, is you angle the handle slightly away from you at the bottom right before you initiate the clean. That usually just helps because after the clean, it just kind of puts the handles exactly in the right spot for pressing.
I see. Yeah, I have the handles pointing straight up. That's something I'll have to try, angling it forward when I bring it to my lap.
Yeah, I think so. It's they're straight right now. I think we're gonna see her. I saw her do it on the last one. We'll probably see her angle it away from her a little bit, 45 degrees about.
Yeah, she's chalking up right now. She's got her coach or her friend helping her belt up. And she is ready for this attempt, fourth attempt.
Oh, yes.
135 kilos, 297.7 pounds. She is ready. Yep, yeah, there's that angle.
Yep, she puts the angle right on it. Yep, and see, she grips it just about where I am. Right in the middle.
We go for the clean.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Stabilize. There we go. Come on. Big tip drive. Push. Oh, yes, hold it. Hold it. Oh. No.
Oh, I think she maybe just didn't get that.
Oh, my.
I think like she had it maybe for a fraction of a second, but she started to wobble back with it. They're showing the replay here. Wow, she's really leaned back. I definitely don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
And she's pressing.
She just takes that one elbow just came unlocked just as she was stabilizing things.
She needed for another half a second, and she definitely would have got that. I mean, at least if that didn't count, which I didn't see Zydrunas' hand drop, but who knows? He could have been frozen. At least she knows she's right there. Like, she could even probably go for it again or just call it a day and go for it on another event and definitely get it.
It depends on how she's feeling. To come that close, I mean, if it was me, I'd probably say one more try. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Yeah. One more. There's an additional 500 people just hopped on the stream right now. So might as well go for one more. This will be interesting when they come back. And it's what was great about that is she got that up to her shoulders. Mm-hmm. It did look a little bit harder on the clean,
mm-hmm.
and which understandable. She's done so many lifts already. One of them being a world record, but that clean was a little harder, but nothing, that would make you think that she couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And what I really noticed is her level of patience between the clean and going overhead for the push press. Her whole body was shaking on mm-hmm. that clean, but she waited, and she had to have had that log on her shoulders for at least a good 5-6 seconds, which is a long time. She stabilized and then went for it. And then it was just, I don't know. Like, do you think she was leaning too far back and went to and put it too far behind her head? There's too much horizontal movement. Like, what do you think happened there to cause her to stagger like that?
So, when she got it to her shoulders, I think when you're leaning back like that, it's a lot harder to kind of stabilize when you're leaning back. So I think she was a little shaky. It was a little heavy. But normally when you're pressing a log, when you press, you're thinking of throwing it behind your head. You're thinking of push back. Because what happens then is usually the log will travel in a straight line. I think in this case, I don't know if she pushed it back more than usual, but I think because it was so heavy, she wasn't able to stabilize it. And I think as she pushed it back, it kind of threw off her balance. It got her moving backwards, and she wasn't able to stabilize it as well as the 130 with her core. And that elbow just came unlocked for a second, and that's when she lost it.
In strongman, our elbow sleeve, is anything covering the elbow in like a pressing event like this against the rules?
Nope. She could be wearing elbow sleeves. Yep.
Okay.
She could, if she wanted. I'm actually surprised that she's not, but that might just be her personal preference. She just doesn't need them, or she doesn't like them for this particular event. But you can have something covering that elbow. And if she had repressed it, if that elbow came unlocked and then she repressed it, it would have been fine. I think in this case, it was just too bulky. Once it came unlocked, it started to come back down.
Yeah. So that's interesting too. You can bring it back down to the shoulders and attempt the jerk again, which, you know, I know from just practicing with the log here recently in recent weeks, it sucks. Like, it sucks to bring it back down to the shoulders. Like, it's so different than a barbell, and bringing a barbell back down the shoulders, like, no one likes to do that. But when you bring the log back down, it almost feels like it's going to be hit or miss. Like, this might just slide right off and just fall, or I got to lean back and do something weird with my spine to get it there.
It hits you with a ton of bricks. And the thing, like, I don't like to bring it down is when you bring it down, you have to still be leaning back, and that when it's heavy can be tough on the back.
Yeah.
But, in strongman, the other thing you can do is if her elbow is a little loose, if it comes unlocked out, but the log doesn't come down, she can repress. So press outs are okay. I think in this case, it just, when it came unlocked, the log came down, and I don't think she was going to catch that on her chest. She's like, no, nope, I'll put it down. Try again.
Definitely. Almost 300 pounds, 297. That's the beauty of having those crash pads there, which, I mean, I just I don't have those at the gym because we've loaned out all of our smaller boxes. Oh, so ahead. When I go to drop the log, when it gets heavier, you could probably hear it throughout the entire building. It's really loud.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't have I don't know if you have bumper plates on yours, but even with the bumper plates, dropping a log, it's.
Yeah, I got the bumpers.
It's still a little frightening.
Yeah. Cause it's
more so than a barbell.
And it doesn't land like a barbell. Like every single time it lands like a coin hitting the floor. Mm-hmm. It like one side hits and then it ricochets up in the air and then the other side hits. So it doesn't land evenly like a barbell. And since the whole thing is hollow, all the sound just reverberates inside of it. And then bam, your ears are blown out.
Yeah, exactly. I think in part of it, like a barbell bends, there's give. With a log, it's solid steel. So there's no bending. It's just.
And that's another thing that makes it feel so weird to bring it back down to the shoulders. Like you said, it hits you like a ton of bricks. Mm-hmm. There's no give at all with that thing. It's just as rigid as it looks. Yep. That's exactly how it's coming down. Like, it's not going to like have any kind of whip to it, like a barbell might have.
Exactly. There's no flex. The weights aren't going to flex at all on that. Just like with an axle, but in this case, there's a big surface area that hits you if you bring it back down to the shoulders.
So what are we thinking? Do you think she's going to come back and fifth attempt, try that one more time? I see she's walking around. She still has her belt on.
Yeah, she came so close. I think she's of the mentality I think she's of the mentality of, I was just so close. She wants this. She's not saving anything. She wants it because she wants to do it. And I'm sure if she hits this, she definitely has her sights set on 300 at Rogue Record Breakers at the Arnold next year. And she will definitely be, I think, the favorite there to take that. And I think it could be a nice little battle if we get, you know, 2-3 women going for it at the Arnold. I think that should draw a big crowd.
Yeah, and that'll push her too. Wow, she's wrapped up. She just got chalk. They're getting the belt ready, and we're going for attempt five. They didn't even have time to flash on the screen, you know, attempt five. She's just out there ready to go. All right, she's setting the log. Here we go. Yep. I think she's got this time. She knows what to expect.
Oh yeah, she's mentally ready, and she's learned from the last attempt, so she's going to get this.
Yep, just has to focus here. Easy or clean.
Oh, yeah, she looks like she's in total control of it. Yes.
Wow.
Put the hand down, Zadrunas. Yes.
Wow. All right. That looked like a completely different lift. The one before that looked like it could have been like 150. That one. Clean was so much smoother, and she never moved. Her feet never moved. She was totally balanced and stabilized. Wow.
That was incredible. I mean, that looked as easy as the 130.
I think just again, to speak on her style, that's just the attitude of a champion right there. She missed it before. the live stream's going, you got Zydrunas, mm-hmm. you got all these people, you know, wanting you to do this. And here she comes on second attempt and just blew it out of the water. Like, you wouldn't have even known that that lift before happened. And the lift before mm-hmm. did look hard. It looked a little tough.
Yeah. I mean, the clean on the last one didn't look that hard. Like I see on some, but certainly she seemed very shaky once it was to the shoulders. And then you could see as she pushed back, she just didn't have control of it. This one, totally different, almost better than the 130. It was like a completely different lift.
Yeah, that was incredible. Oh, here she is. Let's see what Andrea has to say. Yes. I just gotta switch my audio.
And how does it feel being in front of such a big virtual live audience? I try not to think about being in front of such a big audience, to be honest, because I think it would have freaked me out a little bit more than it already did. But just know that it's going to be shown to a lot of people, so it's good. What's next? I don't know, to be honest. All of the competitions up until at least October have been cancelled, I think. I might think about going to Worlds in November and then possibly qualify for the Arnold in December. So I don't know yet.
Okay. Any message to the aspiring strong men or strong women or a word to the fans watching?
First of all, I want to wish my American fans and followers Happy Independence Day. I just appreciate all the messages and the support that I've had over the last couple of weeks. It's not gone unnoticed, so I really appreciate that. To any aspiring strong man and strong woman, you know, don't give up on what you believe you can get. Be selfish. If you want something hard enough, bad enough, you have to be selfish. Cut out the negativity in your life and just go for it.
Awesome.
So that is it.
Let me switch things back over here. One second. So that is pretty cool. Like, she is definitely a stand-up act. Like, mm-hmm. she wished us a happy Independence Day. So I'm glad she remembered and she said that. I feel like there's less, you know, that I have to do less redemption now because of that. So maybe I don't have to go as crazy on the log today. And I like her message there at the end, you know, if you want something bad enough, you know, go for it. Be a little selfish. Like, if people mm-hmm. are telling you can't do it, maybe you have to get, you know, remove those people from your life if they're a negative influence, and don't let anyone tell you you can't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I don't think we should kind of prejudge ourselves. Oh, I can't do this. Just go for it. Just go for it. Set your sights high and work for that. And I think people don't know what they're capable of sometimes. And people think, well, I can't do that, so they don't even try. But yeah, I agree with her totally.
And she could have done that at 130. She could have hit 130. Mm-hmm. That's what everyone was expecting. And she could have been satisfied. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. I did the event. Everyone's super happy. I've done more than any woman has done in history of the log lift and pressing overhead, made it look great. You know, she can rest on her laurels, go on to the next event, eventually mm-hmm. get it. But she's like, no, I want more. I believe I can do more. And then she had a setback, right? She didn't mm-hmm. get it. And she bounced back and like a true world's strongest woman, put away that final attempt and got her real end game.
Right. Absolutely. I have a lot of respect for that. And I think, as she said, she's not sure what she's going to do next. I certainly hope that she does go to Worlds because I want to watch it. And then I hope she does go for the Arnold because I want to watch that as well. But I think her mindset today was, you know, nothing set in stone. Who knows what the world is going to bring? I might as well just go for it. I mean, I think today she was just thinking, I'm going to put my absolute best lifts forward and I'm going to go for as much as I can, because who knows what I'll be doing in a few months? Who knows where the world will be if that opportunity will even be there? So she seized the moment and I'm really excited to have watched it.
You know, you're 100% right. Like, who knows anymore mm-hmm. what the future entails, you know? So it's like, if she had the weights there, she had the judge there, it's like, why not go up 5 kilos? Like, she could have missed it on that fifth attempt and be like, okay, like, at least you can sleep better at night. Like, I went for it. I put it on the log and I went for it. And then who knows, a year from now, they may not still be able to do Worlds, or the Arnold might be canceled completely, or, you know, who knows what's going to be happening. You know, YouTube could go down and the internet could go down and all the records are gone. Like, there's no way to stream it anymore. Like, I like her mindset. I like her tenacity during the lifts. And it's no surprise that she was World's Strongest Woman and four-time, you know, Britain's Strongest Woman. I want to go back and find videos of her old, you know, like of 2018 and see her in action with all these other events. Cause I'm a fan now. Like, I didn't know anything about her before this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think 2018, I watched that. I think she was incredible to watch. So if you can find some YouTube videos of that, I'm sure some of them exist. Oh, definitely. I think that was a really thrilling competition.
Yeah.
I know it was live streamed, but I don't know if there's any kind of paywall on it now. It might just be free.
Oh yeah, true. Cause you got to pay for some of those strongman ones. YouTube is as far as I go. So I'll YouTube it. If it's on there, awesome. You know, or maybe I'll Google it. There might be some videos here and there, but I haven't signed up for any kind of like core sports or World's Strongest Man type of thing yet. Just because, you know, it's still so prevalent on YouTube. And like I said, I was watching the men's events from the Arnold, and that stone event was pretty cool, where you had to press two stones, load two stones to a barrel, and then carry the Husafell stone 50 feet. That was the coolest thing. I'm just fascinated by stones. So that was the coolest thing I've seen so far in terms of an event. Like, this was a cool event because I like the log, but that was like the coolest programmed thing that I've seen, the stone medley.
That to me, I mean, that is what I love about strongman, and that I think is what strongman needs. Not necessarily a traditional event, kind of like three traditional events rolled into one, but the spectacle of it, of just the three different types of stone lifting all rolled into one event. I don't know if Jan Todd came up with that, or if someone else is involved in coming up with the events, but whoever came up with that event, I would like to shake their hand, because that was awesome to watch. That was one of the best events of the weekend.
Yeah. For anyone listening, you know, type in 2020 Arnold Strongman Trial by Stone, I think was the name of it. Mm-hmm. And it was, you had to press overhead two stones. The first one was 275. The second one was 300 pounds. So you had to clean it up to your shoulders and then strict press it. So they're doing that with two hands. And anyone who's done CrossFit before, they were holding onto it just like you would hold a wall ball, you know, just a 275 pound wall ball. And then you strict press it or push press it over your head. Then they had a couple 400 pound stones that they had to get into their lap and put on a barrel, which for the mountain, it's like belly button height. For Rob Kearney, it's like the barrel's chin height, you know? So it was interesting to see the guys of different heights to do that. And then they had the Husafell stone, which Rogue had like recreated the actual Husafell stone. Like, they got the dimensions and the groovings and the, you know, imperfections of the stone that's out there in the world. I don't know what country it's originally from. Do you know, Kat?
It's from Iceland, Husafell, Iceland.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Husafell, Iceland. So they replicated it. And this thing weighs like, what, 500 pounds or something like that?
I believe it's 471 around there.
Yeah. So they had to get that up and essentially bear hug it, and then walk / sprint 50 feet to get it onto another pad. And there was one guy who he missed the end mark. Like, he just barely missed it. It hit the floor and not the red pad. And the announcers were like, well, if he wanted to, he could pick it back up, bring it to the start position, and then try again. And I'm like, so do it two more times, essentially. It's like, and you know, he declined. He's like, no, I'm done. But it's like, that would have been interesting to see. And the mountain got it done in less than a minute. There were a couple of guys who sprinted through that medley, and they did it in less than a minute. And that was one of the most exciting things I've seen in any kind of strawman event. They should do a record breaker for that, because I think that is super cool.
Yeah. I would love to see a record breaker for that. I'd love to see more events like that at the Arnold and just in strongman in general. I've been to a few events where they had things like that, where it's kind of three events rolled into one. And it's been some of the events I was most worried about, but in the end being the most fun, even if they are very grueling and probably you're just flat on the floor afterwards, but it kind of makes it more fun.
Oh yeah. I think it's a perfect representation of what strongman is. Like strongman, the sport has strong in it. So you just assume it's only heavy, you know, it's only lifting heavy weights, but these guys, like the work capacity you need to have and the conditioning to do four stones starting at 275 and ending at 430, let's say, and doing different things like pressing it up over your head and loading it onto a platform and then walking with one of them for 50 feet that is 200 or 471 pounds and doing that in less than a minute, that's super incredible, you know? So I think not only do these guys weigh 300 plus pounds and they're gargantuan and they're super strong, they're super fit too. They have high levels of conditioning and work capacity. So I think that that event like that shows it more than like something like when they're just deadlifting 900 pounds, 800 pounds, 1,000 pounds, you know, that it almost makes that look super boring, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think when they're thinking of events for like televised strongman and events for like world championships, I mean, everyone knows that the most boring event is the max deadlift, you know, three attempts kind of thing. And especially when you're doing it in a big competition, like for nationals, if you're doing that and there's like, you know, 200 people over all the weight classes, it's one of the most boring for spectators. So it's, I think, one of the reasons that it's not usually done in big events. Not even like the official strongman games where Andrea won World Strongest Woman. There, they spiced it up. It wasn't a max deadlift. It was a deadlift medley. Four bars of ascending weight, and you would lift them as quickly as possible, one right after the other, basically like a race. And I think that kind of took the deadlift event and even made it more fun than just watching people rep stuff out. I think that's one of the signature trademarks of that competition. And to watch her run through that medley again, if you're going to try to watch 2018 or even 2019, where she competed, really thrilling, really spices up a deadlift, which I think can be boring to watch sometimes, into something really fun and exciting.
No, you're right. You know, the only way I could think to make that stone event better would have been to have two setups and to have them racing, you know, like it's going to push them more. You know, you might get someone finishing that thing in 45 seconds, you know, because they're just trying to go as fast as possible. And then there's that element of, you know, like, oh, you missed your stone. And now the other guy keeps going. And the more races they can do, I think definitely enhances it.
Yeah. Or someone's better at pressing. So they're ahead and then they get to the, you know, putting the stones on barrels and then they're a little behind. And then maybe it comes down to that Husafell stone at the end and photo finish. That I think, yeah, that two setups, that would be really, really
fun to watch. I wonder if that's eventually where these record attempts will go, because right now it's been mostly strength orientated. Who can lift the most weight and break this record on stone over a bar or a log or a dumbbell or something like that. And I think that the next thing, because eventually they're going to run out of them, right? You can only do two guys in two separate countries doing X amount of weight on the deadlift for reps on a split screen for so long before people will lose interest, you know? So I imagine that'll probably be the next thing. Like, how can we make this more exciting? And a question I have for you is, do you think eventually that these records will take away from the bigger events of strongman, or you'll see, you know, you'll see people who could be world's strongest man or world's strongest woman not be, because they're choosing to be a specialist instead and focus mainly on just these type of record breaker events?
I honestly don't think it's going to take away from the sport, and I don't think we're really going to see a lot of specialists emerge. I mean, for me, I think to get good as a specialist in these, I feel like you have to work for years at it. You're probably going to be doing regular strongman competitions right along the way. And I don't know. I just don't see, if you're not like well known in the sport for doing competitions, I don't see anyone even be given the opportunity to do it. I think there are a few people in the sport right now that maybe are specialists, but I haven't seen them on here given opportunities for log lifts. So I don't know if it's really going to go there. I don't know if there'll be any buzz around them because no one will know them if you're not competing.
True. Yeah. You got to think about, you know, your kind of your fame and your standing in the sport. It's almost like if you want to be able to get onto these record breakers and do stuff like that, well, you have to make a name for yourself and you have to be a part of the community, so to say. You can't just be an outlier. No one's going to invite you to the dance if no one knows you.
Right. Exactly. I could see someone like posting some videos on YouTube, maybe if they're like really good at the log. I don't want this to be seen as I'm calling someone out because I'm really not, but I think Iron Bibby, he is like a very good log presser, but I don't really know what he can do in regular competitions. I think he's more known as being a big log presser, and I think he has maybe been given some opportunities at competitions, but I haven't seen him here on any of these record breakers, unless I'm mistaken. And I haven't seen him do much in regular competitions. Now that could just be me not knowing, but I kind of know him as like a big log presser, someone people thought might be breaking the log record. But then it was Tom Stoltman who was given the opportunity and who came so close. So I don't know. I still feel like we're not going to really see specialists emerge.
Well, that's probably a good thing overall. Like you said, cause I know like, you know, in powerlifting, there's so many specialists, like some people are bench press specialists and that's really all that they do. And their other lifts are still super, super strong, but they don't really contend with like the guys that are going for the total. They just want to bench press really big or they're a deadlift specialist, you know? And I definitely think it's better for strongman in a sport overall or any sport to have everyone involved in everything, you know, and to be very well-rounded. But then you also have that thing that you're not a specialist, but you're just gifted to do that. Like it's clear that Andrea is a gifted log lifter and a exceptionally gifted presser overhead, you know? So I think it's cool to have an outlet where she can show that off and really excel and put on a show, but she still has the ability to be world's strongest woman or win the Arnold or win Britain's strongest woman. So I think that's, you know, that's important too. And I definitely wouldn't want to see it go the way of the specialist, because then you have a fragmented community and no one's really, you know, like it kind of waters down the end result of probably world's strongest man and world's strongest woman when the people who could be going and winning aren't, because they're more concerned with setting a record and getting a payday that way, you know, in their garage.
Yeah. I mean, I think when it comes down to it, anybody who decides to be a specialist was never going to be in the running for being a winner at World's Strongest Man or anything like that. I mean, to me, you have to be so well-rounded to be good at strongman. If you're specializing in just one thing, you're going to be lacking in everything else so far, that you're not even going to be in contention for those big titles. But I honestly don't think it's going to go that way. And I think once competitions are, you know, back to more normal, I think we will see some of these remote record breakers, but I don't think that they'll be as prevalent. I think there will be records at competitions, at in-person competitions, the way they've normally done it, where, hey, we're doing five events and, you know, event three is a log press and it will be a world record attempt. And you will see people do that, where people will just enter that one event.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize you could do that. Just enter one event as like, and like, all right, I don't want to do the truck pull. I don't want to do the big tire flip or anything like that. I only want to do the log lift. I didn't realize you could do that at strongman.
Yeah. I mean, not to get maybe controversial, but Again, not calling somebody out.
let's do it, Kat. Like, throw it out.
Not
there.
Calling out at all. I have nothing against this, but that deadlift that Eddie Hall did, his 500 kilos, that was at Europe's Strongest Man, I believe. And that was the first event of, I think, 5 or 6 events. And he only competed in that event. He was just there for the deadlift championship to take that title, to hit the 500 and, you know, make history. And he was not signed up for the rest of the events. So he just hit that event and he was done. And then a lot of the other people who also hit that event, because that was the first event in a series of 6 events to be Europe's Strongest Man. They went on to do the full competition and then, you know, someone emerged the winner.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's one.
Yeah. You can fact check me on that, but I did look that up because I vaguely remembered and I'm like, let me check that. And I did look it up and I was like, oh yeah, what's the big stink? He didn't even do the whole competition.
Well, and it's now like I know that after he hit that deadlift, he had some medical issues, you know, he like, it took a lot out of him. So I wonder if most people would just assume that's why he didn't do the rest of the event, but I didn't know that he didn't actually sign up for the other events. I'm gonna send this to Eddie Hall and the soundbite of you calling him out and whatnot. We're gonna get to the bottom of this. We're gonna get him on the show.
I'm not calling him out.
we're gonna hash this out. No, but it's I didn't know that. And then it brings me back to like, well then what was so wrong about Thor not having to do other events when he was going for it? Because part of my mentality on like why maybe back then Thor's record shouldn't count was that he wasn't doing it in a competition and he wouldn't have had the toll of other events taking away from it. And I didn't even know that Eddie's deadlift was the first event in the competition. So here I am thinking it's like at the Arnold, they had already done a couple events and they're going into the deadlift. I didn't know any of this. Wow.
Yeah.
The plot thickens.
Yeah. Even if he was going to do the other events, I mean, it was the first event. So you're fresh, right? Unless I missed that, it was the medical issue that left him to drown out. To my knowledge, I thought he fully intended to break that deadlift record and then be like, peace out, guys. I'm in the history books. You guys carry on, right?
Does it take away? Totally fine. Do you think it takes away though from the overall competition and the person who actually does go on to win it when people do that? Like you have Eddie Hall, who's obviously the world's strongest man and one of the best competitors in the world at the time. For him to drop out, does that kind of, you know, like it's not that there'd be an asterisk, but like if you're the one who wins it, you're like, well, you also almost can't say that you beat Eddie Hall because he beat you in the deadlift event because he beat everybody. But then you didn't get the opportunity to face off against him later on. Do you think it diminishes the competition at all for people to do that?
No, because I think Eddie went in there fully like, I'm preparing for the deadlift. I'm going to hit this deadlift. And I don't think he would have been worried about those other events at all. So I don't know that he would have even been in contention to win that year because I think he was focused, just because he was focused more on the deadlift.
He's not training his logs or anything like that. He's just all in on deadlift.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's probably training things to some degree, but he's really more all in on the deadlift. And so he was just kind of, you know, maintaining on the other things for when he needed to do a full competition. But I think he was more focused on that. So I don't think he was peaked for a full competition. He was peaked for that deadlift. And I think he knew it was going to take it out of him. And I think that that's probably why he didn't continue on. And then I think people who were training more for the full competition for that title of Europe's Strongest Man, I think because they were probably focused on all the events, you know, they didn't train as much on deadlift. So I think there's a place for both of it. I almost think that it's nice that they do that. I don't know.
Yeah, you're probably right. And it probably the rest of the competitors probably knew. They're like, all right, Eddie's going to do that. We're probably not going to beat him unless he misses, you know, and one of us happened to have, you know, lifted a little heavier in the weight before that. And he's probably going to only go for it once. I don't imagine he would have gone for it twice. And we know he's leaving. So we know he's really not a part of essentially the competition. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably, it's probably better if everyone knows, as opposed to like it just like happening, you know, like out of the blue and everyone's like, where's Eddie? Oh, he's not doing the competition. Oh man, you know, like it's probably better that everybody's on board what the plan is. And I knowing the community of strongmen and how it seems most of those guys interact with one another, I wouldn't be surprised if they're all like on a group text and Eddie's like, hey guys, deadlifting tomorrow, have fun with the rest of the competition.
Yeah. And I think in strongman, that type of stuff's pretty common. I think some of the world log lift championships or the records, they're in a full competition, but you can sign up just for the log championship portion, which is usually like, it's usually the first event whenever something like that happens. So you can sign up just for that championship or you can sign up for the full event. I think a lot like powerlifting meets where I think you can do like deadlift only or like bench only kind of things. And I don't know, I guess it kind of gives a platform to people who are specialists who maybe aren't good at other strongman stuff and ups the excitement maybe for that particular event, but still kind of keeps the integrity of the full competition. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's probably all about the planning, you know, whoever's organizing the event. What do you know people are going to do like in that situation and where are you going to place the events so it doesn't, you know, like all of a sudden you have a big part of the field drop out and you're on day two or you're a couple events in and now that skews all your scoring. It's like you said, it's probably better to do that earlier rather than later.
Right. And I think people know like if someone is there just for a deadlift or just for the log and they're the specialists and you don't need to beat them, right? You just need to beat your next best competition and save yourself for the rest of the meet. I'm one who really doesn't like to do that. I like to go for the win. It's very hard for me to hold back, even if strategically it's better to. But I would say most of these guys play strategically. You know, they want the title, they want the win, and it's their job. This is where they make money. So, you know, when they come in first, you know, that pays the bills. Don't jeopardize that.
Yeah. It's the difference between professional and amateurs and mm-hmm. someone doing it for fun versus someone who's going to get a big sponsorship deal, you know, if they complete it.
Right. We're doing it for the glory, but these guys, you know, again, that's what pays their bills. If they get injured, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. 'Cause you know, that puts that, you know, making money in jeopardy. For us, it stinks because we can't do our hobby for a few weeks, but for them, I think it's a bigger risk.
Yeah. And that's something that most of us don't have any kind of like, you know, it's hard to relate to, you know, like when you see the mountain do the 501 and you're like, oh, well, is he going to go up? Like we want him to do more. And it's like, well, he just got the record. No human being in human history that we know of has ever done that before. And if he goes for more, he could really hurt himself, you know, not just like a regular, like muscle sprain or something, like something could seriously go wrong, you know, like on his insides going for more, if he doesn't feel like he's ready, but he's just trying to put on a show for no reason, you know? So it makes sense that he's like, you know, pick your battles. It seems like strong men and strong women are really good at picking their battles. You know, the mountain, he just went for his one attempt. He got it. We wanted more, but he's got a game plan for his future. And then today Andrea got the record, but I believe she knew full well that 130 was going to go down. And that was not what she 135 was probably where she wanted to end. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you think if she hit 135 on her fourth attempt, she would have gone up to 140? Or do you think 135 was the end game?
I think she was going by how it felt in the moment. I think if she had hit that second 135 on her fourth attempt, like as easily, she may have gone up. I think if 135 felt easy, I think she would have gone up. But I think because she missed it that first time, I think she was, even though the second time she hit the 135, it did look easy, it probably didn't feel easy. So I think she was like, I'm good here. But I think if it had felt easy, she would have just gone to 140 or 138 maybe.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's funny. It's always, you know, that's like when you're coaching someone, you're like, that looked really easy. Like, but you can't internalize what that person was feeling, and it felt like 1,000 pounds on their body. And they're like, it didn't feel easy. It felt like the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life, you know, in terms of training. So it's always funny on everyone's perception versus the reality. Cause like we're not feeling what she's feeling, even though she made it look like it could, like she could have opened at 130. Like she probably will someday, you know, in like the next couple of years be, that'll be a first attempt for sure. Cause it looks so seamless.
Right. And I mean, even though she didn't hit that 135 on the first try, she still expended that energy. And I feel like if she hadn't, maybe 140 would have been more feasible. I think now she was probably tired. Five attempts, that's a lot, especially at that weight. So I think next time she goes for it, I think if she opens a little bit heavier, I think she won't be as tired by the time she gets to the heavier weights.
Yeah. As tired attacks, I'd like to see videos of her like doing push presses and strict presses with a barbell, just to kind of, you know, have a better perspective in my head on like, wow, like that is incredible. I bet she could do quite a bit with a barbell.
Yeah. I think I'm not sure what sort of presser she is. I know for me, like on a barbell, I lift more on a barbell than I do on a log. I don't know if she's, some people are the exact opposite. Some people will always do more on a log than on a barbell. I'm not sure. I have seen her do some axle, and I do think she's much stronger on the log than on an axle. Where again, I'm the opposite for some reason. I will always do more on an axle, but we are very different pressers. She push presses, and I split jerk or push jerk. So I think that might be, maybe that's the reason. I should do a little research. I think push pressers are better on the log. And I think when you jerk, sometimes it tends to be better on an axle or a barbell.
Interesting. Yeah. I tend to split jerk as well on the log. It may be in the warmups, I'll throw in some push presses in there, but then I'm like, it just feels way more natural. I feel like I can move faster that way. And I feel like the main thing that's helping me get the weight overhead is going to be speed. Like I got to do something and I got to do it fast. And I feel like that's just the way I'm comfortable moving. Maybe I just need to buckle down and just give it a little more time and try some push pressing. That might be interesting, or at least just good training. But I'm motivated to get into it today and throw a log around now after watching this.
Yeah, I think even if you will jerk for your main log lifting, I think push presses are a really good accessory lift. I always do them, even though when I go for maxes, I always use a jerk. I think it helps you strengthen the back. You just have to use all those muscles to stabilize. So I think even if you are a jerker, so to speak, on a log, you should still push press as an accessory.
I think I might have to, at least like on the build up, you know, get in the volume. Mm-hmm. Now, Kat, are there any local competitions on the horizon? And like when I say the horizon, probably like the fall, since everything is getting canceled again. I think I'd like to do a competition again. You know, like it's been a while.
Let's see. Is there anything? I think everything right now is kind of up in the air. The only ones I know that are still going on are a little bit far away, and they're bigger competitions. There is Nationals in October, and then I think Worlds is in November.
Oh, we're not ready for that. We need some local meets.
There was supposed to be one. My former coach, Ben Lambosis, was going to host one July 21st. It's near Newburgh. I don't know if you've, it's about 45 minutes from the city, an hour and 45 minutes south of Albany.
Not a bad drive.
Yeah, it's a level one. I think the weights are pretty good. It'll be good for a first show, but it's July 21st. I don't know. I think right now it's probably going to be postponed because of,
oh man.
Yeah, I don't know. That would have been a good first meet, but I could certainly send you the info if you're interested.
Yeah, yeah. Send me the info. Like if they have the events already announced, you know, maybe at least it'll be something to try at the gym. Just try to recreate as much as I can if it gets postponed. Just as like a tester, just kind of see.
Yeah. Yeah. The events have been announced. So, and it was supposed to be, I think that it was supposed to be for a charity and I don't recall what charity, but, I could send you the info. You could take a look and you would be able to see the events and train the events. I think there's going to be Pennsylvania's Strongest in August still, as long as there's no restrictions on gatherings. I could send you the info for that one.
Okay. Yeah. I was just thinking this might have to be a travel out of state type of project, you know, until things open up here in New York. Cause I'm assuming, well, we do have listeners from other states and around the world. Mm-hmm. New York is still locked down. So the gyms aren't open, you know, yeah. There's no classes, there's no anything right now. And there's actually no end to it in the foreseeable future. We have no information. So I might have to start traveling, you know, out of state.
Yeah, there's one in Syracuse usually in October, and then maybe by October, you know, restrictions in New York will be lifted, so you can have gatherings of more than 50. That would be a good one. But I don't think there's any info on that one yet. I think they're kind of waiting.
Yeah, everyone's waiting. Well, yeah, send me the info on the one that was going to be by Newburgh, and okay. Send me the info on the one that's going to be in PA, and I'll take a look at them. And like I said, if going isn't going to be able to happen because it's postponed or something like that, you know, I think it'd be fun to just recreate it the best I can on my own and just have a little mock meet for myself. And just as practice, you know, cause I do want to do one. I think it'd be fun. And I want to try to get other people to do one too. Once we can open up the gym again, which actually the way it's going, once we have the gym back open, doing strongman outside might be more feasible than doing most things inside. So that's definitely something I want to do more of.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Outdoor strongman. It's definitely, I miss those days.
Awesome. Well, Kat, thanks for coming on. This has been great. I'm super excited about Andrea's world record log lift, 135 kilos. And I'm a fan now, so I want to see more of her. I want to look, you know, it sealed the deal listening to her speak at the end there. And I'm like, you know what? Her character showed in her lifting, mm-hmm. and her speaking just kind of, I was like, yep, I'm a fan. I want to know more and I want to see her do more. So that was super exciting. And I forgot to ask you earlier, what's the name of your dog?
My dog's name is Ragnar.
Oh, that's a strong man dog name right there. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Named after Ragnar Lothbrok from the sagas.
Vikings. Yeah.
And he is very hairy. I think Lothbrok means hairy britches, hairy pants, and he is very furry.
What type of dog is he?
He's a half Great Pyrenees, half Newfoundland.
Awesome. Well, I'm pretty sure he's the first dog to make a podcast experience, or at least to speak on the podcast. You know, he weighed in on what he thought with the log lift, and I think what he was trying to tell us, he's like, guys, she's not going for 130. I have it on good authority she's going to go for 135, and you know what? He was right. And it's because of the Viking power from within him, he could probably feel it.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Awesome. Well, I'm super glad he got to come on the show for a little bit, weigh in. I'm glad you were able to come on and we got to watch this attempt. Where can people follow you, Kat?
So they can follow me on Instagram at StrongCatty. And on Facebook, my name is Catherine Toniati Yanilovich. I'm not going to tell you how to spell that, but just look for a Catherine with a really long last name.
There you go. Have you been posting more videos?
I haven't.
The fans demand it. The fans want to see big lifts.
All right. Maybe I'll have to put up a big 4th of July lift, something.
Hey, there you go. 4th of July lift. Put it up there.
Maybe I'll put my Star Spangled pants on. I got my red, white, and blue pants.
There you go.
And I'll hit a lift.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Be sure to follow the Barbell Strikes Back on Instagram. Follow me, James A. McDermott. Head on over to iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and some positive or just feedback in general. It's always great to get that feedback. Thank you so much for supporting the show. And thank you again for listening. Kat, thank you for coming again.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.